Je pense qu'on entend bien.
Bienvenue à la conférence.
Welcome to the conference about our T4 results for 2019. I'll give the floor to Bruno Melonian, the Deputy Director General. Sir, you have the floor. Good evening. Thank you for participating in this conference concerning Alten's activity for 2019. As you saw in the press release, which is published, we had a consolidated turnover of 2 billion euros at the end of December 2019. We were up by 15.6% compared with the previous year, 2,679,000,000 euros. In France, we increased by 10.2%, and outside of France, by 20.1%. Organic growth was high in 2019. It's higher than 10% for the second consecutive year, even if it slowed down as we had forecasted and as we stated back in September. And we confirmed that during the meeting in October concerning our activity in the third quarter. Organic growth reached 10.7% in 2019, 10.2% in France, and 11.2% outside of France. 2019 for Alten was 250.1 opening or working days, a few less than the previous year. We had one less day in France and 0.1 days at the international level. We had growth of 0.15% in France. Activity dropped by 0.4%. At the last quarter, turnover grew by 12.1% and up 18.5% outside of France. It's 657 million euros compared with 613.5 in 2018. For constant data, we grew by 4.3% in France and 9.8% at the international level. This quarter had one less working day in France, and growth dropped by 1.5% as a result. So it was at 5.8%. Our activity rate for the last quarter was 92.6%, 83.1% at the last quarter, 2018. For the year, the activity rate for Alten was 92.1% compared with 82.6%. No major gaps between 2018 and 2019. Our acquisitions at the international level increased our growth by 4.2% and Forex by 0.7%. Forex justified by dollar and the Swiss franc and the Canadian dollar as well. Our turnover rose and represents 20% of the group's total. In terms of headcount, Alten at the end of 2019 had 32,700 workers, 32,550 engineers. As a reminder, we had 33,700 at the end of 2018, so 29,000 consultants. Our headcount rose by 3,000 people, and by 2019 people, 1,517 for internal growth, 417 in France, and 1,307 outside of France. We grew by 1,617 people through acquisitions solely at the international level. In France, at the last quarter, we should note that 200 engineers left the group at the end of the last week, and not the 31st, because of the configuration of the calendar. Outside of France, some European countries dropped off. We lost 30 people in Belgium, 40 in Sweden, but we had increases in other geographical areas. If we look at our activity country by country, in France, activity rose by 10.2% for the year. All sectors grew fairly well. Aerospace, which is a quarter of our activity in France, rose by 14% this year. Energy by 12%. And nuclear We also had a strong growth by 21. Oil and gas, we reached about 10%. Naval, 21%, and defense, and security by 22%. Still in France, growth in the auto sector grew at the end of the year, and it's higher than 8%. This is a sector which for France represents 70% of our turnover. Activity in the automobile sector in France is satisfactory, primarily thanks to the car makers. Other sectors had growth by about 5%. Telecoms, tertiary finance, life services in France, but not only in France, we had a drop at the last quarter in pharmaceuticals and medical equipment. At the international level, in North America, activity grew by 26%, 18% organic, so it's very strong. The auto was the strongest, 27%, energy, 58%, thanks to certain activities in terms of consulting in the area of energy, consulting as well as resuming certain activities in oil and gas. Life sciences also increased by about 40%. These are sectors which are the most dynamic in any event for Alten in North America. In Germany, organic growth was 4%, which was a good performance, I think, given the fact that we had growth from most sectors in this country. The auto sector also grew by 5%. That represents 45% of our turnover, primarily thanks to the work of the teams and also thanks to the car makers. The car makers were the real drivers behind the growth. Aerospace grew by about 10%, thanks to Airbus primarily. The diversification of our intermediary equipment also is doing very well. The activity grew by 20%, and that represents 5% of the turnover in Germany. The finance sector, tertiary financing, represents only 5% of the turnover in Germany, and it's off by nearly 20%. Scandinavia, growth was 18%, 6.5% organic, with activity which dropped a great deal during the last quarter. In Finland, which represents 20% of our turnover in Scandinavia, we were doing very well in terms of growth by 10%. In Sweden, organic growth dropped to 5.5%. It dropped off during the second quarter due to auto activities, which didn't do very well during the third quarter, an activity which was equivalent to the last quarter and represents about 50% of our activity in Sweden. The telecom sector also dropped off, slowed down. It only grew by 10%. And diversification in the areas of industrial equipment rose by 25% and tertiary by 14%. This also bore its fruit, but not enough to offset the drop in the auto sector, primarily from Volvo. In Spain, activity grew by 28.5%, 6% organic. All the major sectors are growing by between 4 and 8%. That hasn't changed, except for the auto sector, which grew by 5%. And due to SEAT, this is primarily due to delocalizing certain activities that we have. Italy, growth is still accelerating and is higher than 20%. Exceptional performance in Italy, again for this year. The activity between finance and tertiary is up by 25%, doing very well. Defense and security grew by more than 35%. Industry grew by more than 40%. Auto by more than 15%. Italy's performance was very good. Once again, it was very good in 2019. Asia Pacific is growing very quickly, 30% organic, doing very strongly in China as well, and in India, we're at more than 40%. And this is growth on local markets, of course. In the United Kingdom, activity includes oil and gas activity as well, which is not specifically part of Britain's portfolio. Total activities and our oil and gas activity were stable and represents about 5% of our turnover, even if it's still off by 50% compared with the previous year because of a base effects nuclear. And thanks to the EPR project, is up by 20%. The aerospace sector is growing very strongly and represents 30% of the UK's turnover. They're up by more than 45%. Automobile dropped off during the third quarter, but it came back in the fourth quarter and grew by more than 5% for the year. Only the tertiary finance sector didn't really do terribly well. It grew by 20% due to new rules. In Benelux, the situation was a bit more modest. Different performance. Ferro up by 35, energy up by 60, electronic, multimedia up by 25. Some sectors, however, dropped off very sharply. In the finance sector, which dropped off by 25%, automobile also dropped by 5%. In the Netherlands, our growth was 7%, but I'm sure that you saw that it dropped off a bit at the end of the year due to a drop in our activity in semiconductors, primarily the Philips accounts, which contributed to the slowdown in the last quarter. Other sectors are slightly up. Tertiary finance is up by more than 10%. Industries up by 20%. Life sciences up by 25%. Telecoms more than 30%. If now we look at the group's activity on a sector-by-sector basis, we can see that all the sectors are growing, even if the rhythm dropped off in certain sectors during the second half of the year. Automobile, up by 20% for Alten's turnover. It grew by 8% this year, with a growth of 5% for equipment makers and 15% for car makers. The progress rate was very different according to the customers, both between equipment makers and car makers. Naval is up very strongly, higher than 20% for rail. Aerospace is 16% of our turnover, is still growing very strongly, more than 16. And then manufacturers, Airbus Helicopter and Bombardier are also up very strongly. For equipment makers, growth is very strong as well. And that was done with companies like Daher, Horos, Thales. For aerospace, which represents a fair amount of our turnover, we did very well this year. We had growth, which was, however, below 5%. Defense and security activities, which are 5% of our activity, are still growing very strongly at more than 50%. Energy, 11% of our turnover. We were able to increase our growth in the second half of the year up to 13.5%. And other main sectors are growing, such as oil and gas, up by 17, nuclear, up by 20, thanks to the EDF activities. Other industries represent 6% of our turnover, 6% to be exact. The rhythm of growth is up to 40% thanks to industrial equipment groups. For life sciences, about 7% of our turnover. Our growth was 13% in 2019. There was strong progression in terms of medical equipment, especially in the middle of the year. The pharmaceutical sector had its growth drop off throughout the entire year. Telecoms dropped off during the second half of the year. They had growth, accumulated growth of about 7%. Everybody's dropping off except for Ericsson. And performance is very different from one country to the next. For electronics and multimedia, they were able to do very well to Q3. They dropped off in Q4 due to electronics. This is something that we saw very clearly in the Netherlands. Tertiary finance, 18.5% of our turnover. This is another sector which dropped off fairly sharply throughout the year. That's true for all subsectors, in fact. And so this is a year which was satisfactory in terms of growth. There was a drop in growth at the end of the year. As I said, We're going to have about 10% growth at the organic level in 2020. That's what we're expecting. This is not what we're working on in terms of hypothesis, so we hope to have we'll have a good year, even though we've had two very strong years, 2018, 2019. We hope to continue to have good organic growth. However, the bases are not necessarily very strong. Altenda is very important. We hope to continue to have good levels of growth, and we think that the outlook is quite positive. In terms of external growth, there are no new acquisitions to be signed before the end of the year. There will be a number of international acquisitions. I spoke about those during the last publication. There are several projects under the way. I think that there are a certain number of acquisitions which are going to take place during the first quarter or first half of the year, 2020. I'm going to give the floor to the participants, and I will be here to answer any questions that you might have. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask any questions, please punch 01 on your phone pad, your keypad. We have a first question from Laurent Thor. Sir, you have the floor. Good evening, Bruno. I would like to talk more about the headcount between Q3 and Q4. The figures that you gave us, do they include everything? And the second has to do with the increase in terms of the acquisitions that you just spoke about. I'd like to know what's going to be set up, and what do you think about the first weeks of 2020? To talk about the headcount, there were 30,500 engineers. And I said at that point that we had, in year to date, the number of acquisitions, which represents an increase of 900 engineers. As of the 1st of October, in terms of consolidated information, which we spoke about, we had a number of workers join us, and 260 people. The acquisitions represented 73 people, 73 engineers. For an increase of engineers of about 3,000. The number of engineers at the end of the year, 2019, the number of engineers end of 2019 for the group, 32,500. I'd like to go back to what we said earlier. It seems that we've been very aggressive in terms of hiring in Q4. And that should give us a lever for 2020, even if we have to do away with certain things. But if we do away with the UK acquisition, the things are quite stable. Yes, that's correct. That's exactly correct. There was a bell effect. We did a lot of hiring in October, in November, and then we had quite a few people who left in December before the 31st, which is to say that as of the 31st of December, we had a number of people who left, but the people who worked in December and who were contributing to the country are considered in the headcount as being carried through to the end of the year, up to the 1st of the January. Here we had a certain number of people who left because the 20th and 29th were a weekend, the last weekend of the year. So there were many who left, in fact, during the month. Yes, I understand. So we lost about 200. Yes, we lost a number of people before the end of December. Now, that doesn't explain everything. There were people who left in December, as I said. And since we hired a great deal in October, November, there was a slowdown in hiring. So we were in the red at the group level, if you will, for December in terms of hiring, especially in France. That was true in Belgium and Sweden. We were negative in Romania. Romania, that can be explained by the fact that there was a project to transfer to India because the managers decided to concentrate on a new contract in order to be able to start off the year in a strong position. There were normal contracts, but in any event, all of this offset the hiring for the entire year. In France, we also had the strikes, and that was seen in the number of interviews that we had. Now, there were many fewer interviews than we normally have, because the candidates simply couldn't come to the interviews. So there's probably going to be a great deal of offset in terms of the hiring. And at the beginning of the year, we also had a slowdown in our sales activity. There were a certain number of interviews that were not able to be held with the customers for various logistical reasons. The good news is that finally, at the end of December, we didn't have what we call the cut. Or in any event, the one that we had was not as pronounced as it usually is. And so we didn't have the same kind of contracts that we had. We had fewer contracts at the beginning of January. That's due to, that's down by 1 or 2%. And we expect to have an increase in contracts in the near future. So what's the policy going to be in terms of hiring for Q1 in order to make up for the delay that we had at the end of the year? Are we going to be able to offset or make up for these losses? Perhaps the fact that the market is not quite as dynamic, that might not be a problem. And then a classic question that we have every year. What kind of organic growth are we going to look at with the current headcount that we have? The market is not as dynamic as it was last year at the same time. The managers have been trying to concentrate on certain contracts right now, and they're being much more cautious in terms of hiring in various areas of activity. There's still a great deal of demand, of course, but the managers are much more cautious than they were last year at this time, for example. Even the supervisors, the operational supervisors, are more cautious. I think that we're doing a good job in managing our contracts. We should also know that we don't have any problems in terms of hiring. And that's true for people who work in a number of different sectors, nuclear, for example. So I don't think that we're going to increase hiring this year. That's not what we have forecast. Thank you. Basically, it's the weekly management that we are looking at, and we think that it's because of the contracts, which are more limited right now, that's going to have an effect. And this is going to have an effect on our sales activity. And the growth, we had a second half of the year in terms of projects and headcount, which was not as dynamic as the first half of the year. So we are going to have growth which will carry forward, which will be lower than it usually is, about 2%. And when you say standardized growth for 2020, is that going to be between 6 and 7? today, quite frankly. I can't really answer that question. We're trying to achieve our sales objectives. We're also trying to make sure that everybody has a good perception of their activity. Generally speaking, I think that it's not a very good idea to modify exactly what we're doing. We're going to be above 5. I think that that's a given. I hope that it will be the case in any event. We'll be above 5. Are we going to be up to 7 or 8? I can't really answer that question right now. Between 6 and 8, I would say something like that. Thank you very much. Thank you, Bruno. Thank you. We don't have any other questions right now. If you wish to ask a question, then please tap 01 into the keypad on your telephone. We have a new question from Gregor Rengreza. Sir, you have the floor. Good evening. I want to talk about the profitability. I imagine you can't really talk about it this evening. For 2020? No, for 2019. For 2020, of course, there's not much to say yet. But at the end of the year, there were strikes. Can we think that there might be an effect, which is going to be felt in France primarily, which is going to have an impact on our operating margin? The answer is not really. There was a bit more in terms of intercontract in December because of the strikes, and that had an effect on the Greater Paris area primarily. The consultants were not always able to go to the consultants' sites, and they weren't able to show up, quite simply, for logistical reasons. And so that had an effect. But that is relatively negligible at the group level, to be quite honest, because the areas outside of Paris were not affected by the strikes. And very often people who are outside of Paris go to see their customers by using cars. So really the only sites that were affected were the ones that have to be reached using public transportation. This is not going to have an impact on the results. And even if I can give you the results, I think it would be in the range which I indicated back in October. Thank you. Next question, Derek Marco from Société Générale. You have the floor, sir. Good evening, Bruno. We talked about the states at the beginning of the year. We said that it was better than expected. Is that not due to the slowdown for hiring at the end of 2019? It's not that the activity is better. There were a number of people who left in December, and we didn't hire very many people at that time. And so, of course, we had to hire more people. Having said that, everybody thought that intercontract for cars would be very high, and we were expecting that there would be an increase, but that didn't occur. Can you provide us with a bit more details? Because there are a number of changes that we have to deal with, Renault and others, our car makers. Can you give us some more information on that? Anyway, should we expect any problems in 2020? There will be no impact today, I think I can say that quite frankly. Some car makers, mostly French car makers, announced that they were going to work on their projects for 2020 and that they were going to review a certain number of projects, that they were going to work on productivity and so on and so forth. The budgets for 2020 would be tighter than the budgets for 2019. So there are a number of warning signs. Mm-hmm. we haven't seen much of an effect in Alten. That doesn't mean that things are not going to slow down in 2020, but right now we haven't really felt the effects of everything that I just spoke about. In other sectors, we're doing better than we were in the past. There are several explanations possible. One is Alten's positioning, because we don't really deal with mechanics and design. We deal much more with the software, onboard software, and the motor environment. These are things which require a great deal of projects, and I think our positioning is something which has protected us to a certain degree. I mean, in terms of new projects and in terms of ongoing projects. That was the good surprise for the beginning of the year. I also wanted to talk to you about the people who left before the 31st of December. Is that the same thing as what we saw back in May and June? That we had attrition higher than expected? Or was it something which we saw but we didn't take into account early enough? So it's what we saw back in May and June. No, not at all. These people would have left in any event. In May and June, you didn't think there were as many people leaving. Yes, that's correct. Yes, that's exactly it. And the last question. The activity dropped off a great deal in Q4. Despite the fact that our forecasts were quite positive for equipment makers. What's the problem between what we thought was going to happen and what actually happened? We don't really have a strong presence in terms of semiconductors. But in India, we bought two companies. And we don't have a very strong presence there. In the Netherlands, we have a much stronger presence, and we're able to have much closer contact with our customers. But this has been in a strong drop since second half of the year. Things really begin to drop off during the third quarter, and then they drop off again in the fourth quarter. Now, I don't know how to interpret that. Either it's because of the customers that we deal with. That's quite possible. We're not very present in the world of semiconductors and electronics. This is a relatively small part of our turnover. If I look at semiconductors, microelectronics and electronics, and if I add up what that represents in terms of turnover for Alten, I'm at less than 0.5% in terms of turnover. So it's not something which can really be qualified as a trend, or described as a trend, but that's what we've seen in terms of the figures. Thank you. A question from Alexandre Pro from CIC Market Solutions. Sir, you have the floor. My question has to do with the auto sector. I wonder if we haven't lost Eric, if there's not a connection problem. He was connected a little while ago, but there's no answer from him. We have a next question from Stefan Slovinsky from Exame BNT. Sir, you have the floor. Good evening. Two questions. The first has to do Kompos in Asia and the number of days worked in China. Is it too early to really know exactly what the impact is going to be of that? That was the first question. Oh, yes, it's much too early to know what's going on there. We may not be impacted at all, but it's hard to say. It's going to depend on how the situation develops. Because some companies did not open again after the New Year's festivities. This was a decision which was made by Alton? No. It would be impacted upon by the period. But we haven't made any decisions of that nature. Okay. Second question has to do with telco. I note that the equipment dropped during the second part of the year, except for Ericsson. Does that mean that you think that equipment makers are more cautious in terms of 5G development? Why would we have this drop-off? Why would we have this slowdown in telecom, specifically in equipment? Our equipment makers, aside from Ericsson, the infrastructure in telecom represents 1.8% of our turnover. Everything else has to do with operators, MZO, and basically the equipment makers. And it's very low, very low. Our main customers are Ericsson, Nokia, Cisco, Huawei in China. The slowdown, I don't think anything to particularly be concerned about. The slowdown came mostly from our two main European customers, from Ericsson. Ericsson slowed down a great deal in terms of growth. Their growth, which was very high, but over the last 2 years, it's dropped off a great deal. And that's probably due to budgetary considerations on their part. I think that had a major impact on their performance. Because when we talk about growth rates, they're not dropping off. It's just that at a certain time, the customers have decided to stabilize their investments. Ericsson, we didn't have a balance project, despite the fact that they were localized in India or elsewhere. We have a number of projects that Ericsson is involved in India, but this clearly is not the case. And these are budgets which I think they're trying to stabilize. So that doesn't mean that the outlook for 5G development in Europe has changed over the last 3 or 6 months. No. No, it hasn't. Okay. Very well, thank you. A question from Charles Pipin from Auto BHS. Sir, you have the floor. A question about the margins. You said that we're high in the bracket. Can you tell us a bit more about that? And we have also a question about the evolution of prices. What was the evolution of the average prices for 2019, and what can we expect in 2020? The evolution of prices. This is information which is more and more difficult to give out for a number of reasons. But what we can say is that according to the geographical area, that there are effects in terms of the supply, there are a number of projects in which have been outsourced to Morocco and other places. This, of course, leads to a drop in prices. But since we need to look at costs as well, what we can see is the ratio, price-salary. That's an indicator today, which is much more relevant than the development or evolution of prices. And then concerning the ratio, because the sales price, it depends a great deal on geographical areas, but also in terms of skills. The kinds of skills which we are trying to have, and this is going to lead, of course, to different prices. We're also looking at the evolution of financial prices, and this is something which is masked to a certain degree. Price changes, which are very difficult to really decode. We follow the price ratio, the price salary ratio at the geographical level much more closely because it's something which is much more relevant. And we also have to look at other activities such as sales activities. I can't give you all the information because we don't necessarily have all this information. But we have tariff evolutions, which are positive pretty much across the board, with a number of differences which can be quite striking, about 5% in France, for example. And then for other customers, we have tariffs which have evolved by 0.5%, for example. Thank you very much. And for 2020? For 2020, it's very early to say, too early to say, in fact. We won't have tariff evolutions, which will be positive or stable because a certain number of customers felt that the prices were rising too high. This is something which we are still discussing. We don't usually deal with these kinds of issues before the month of March. Customers are more interested in productivity, in fact, than in prices. Since the outsourced projects are much larger and they deal with larger teams. In fact, we're missing a bit of information there, and we're not entirely sure of what's going to happen. We hope to be able to reduce the daily tariffs of the teams. And that mostly in the major French and German industrial players. In the margin for 2019, yes, I told you that our margin for 2019 was 9.6, 9.8 in terms of ratio. It's always very difficult to make these kinds of predictions at the beginning of the year. But at the end of 2019, We lowered our expectations, and we're down to like 9.7, 9.9. That's very clear. Thank you very much. Another question from Makwa. Sorry, the floor. I had a technical problem before. I have a question about the telecoms equipment makers. Even if we're not as present in that market as we used to be, and with good reason, we had a number of outsourcing. But when you see Nokia, for example, which is reinvesting in its roadmap, they're increasing by 350 engineers in Finland. This is a very large market. And this is not something which we see very often. And there's also 5G in Ericsson. And it's a bit difficult to understand what's going on. Ericsson, and paradoxically, had very strong growth, even if it slowed down at the end of the year, in Finland. this didn't have a major impact. But I don't think that it's had a major impact, if you will. Maybe they made their effort with internal workers. Perhaps our performance is not very good with them in Finland. That might be the explanation. But I don't have that information, unfortunately. But there's equipment in telecoms. There's a difference between the two. Yes, indeed. Finland is customers like SAPS, Kone, ABB. We're dealing with customers of that nature. Intermediary equipment. Nokia is not thanks to us, but it hasn't had a major impact on our activity in Finland. In the U.S., they had a very good year in terms of growth, and there was a contract between TCS and GM. Is that based on the initial business model that we had? No, we're moving more towards work package activities. We don't have major contracts in the auto sector in the States. But it's about $100 million, I believe. No. We're not dealing with that kind of project in the United States. And for 2020 in North America, is that going to be as dynamic as it was last year? Higher than 10 is what we're expecting. Well, I'm hedging my bet a bit. I understand that you think that it's 15, but it's actually going to be 10. Thank you very much. We have no other questions. I will give the floor for the concluding remarks. No more questions, so thank you all very much for participating in this teleconference. I will speak to you again on the 19th of February for those of you who will be attending the meeting where we will be presenting the results. That will happen at 10 o'clock at the Maison des Arts et Métiers. Thank you very much and have a pleasant evening. Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is now over. Thank you all for participating. You may now disconnect. Thank you.